This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on. Permits denied to reopen California's state capitol for protesters on May 1st. Shocking. Now, there's maybe some more to that than what we might not realize, and we're going to be talking to Dave Hodges in just a few short seconds. But also, Flynn, Michael Flynn enters the fray one more time, and I think that he's going to be back on a national scene like you've never seen it before because of all the different things that have happened to him. And thank goodness he's got the right to attorney and all that, and then we wish him the best of luck. Great weekend for New Californians and all the different things that are happening out there. And we hope that everybody's safe and sound and their families are well taken care of. Now, we have some problems that we've been hearing from the trucking industry, and we're talking about that the supply chain for truckers and all the things that are happening there is drying up, which means no trucks for you. Anyway, but with us right now is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and Dave was putting a different light on this whole thing about why we are perhaps being told to shelter in place because of maybe some other things that might be happening. So, Dave, welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. So you're hearing some things, some rumblings going on. And by the way, what you're about to tell people is stuff that we've actually been telling people is a probability that could happen. And this has been a long time coming, actually about since 2013 and 14, we've been talking about this stuff.
We hit this hot and heavy, and it's good to be with you, but we hit this hot and heavy back during the campaign also of 2016. We did repeated shows on the Common Sense Show about this, where I interviewed you about the cartels. I'm going to mention here off the top, I'm going to talk about two conversations I've had, one with a federal law enforcement agent, and it's not the one who I normally interview that ends up on my website. It's somebody else who talks to me very much off the record, but they sent me an alarming text, which I have been putting out, and I've had some confirmation that that is the fear from other federal law enforcement agents. And then I'll tell you about a conversation I had with someone in the Pentagon that directly relates to the safety and welfare of Donald Trump. And I think we, the people, need to set the tone for Trump rather than the other way around right now. He is surrounded by enemies, and his behavior shows it. And we'll get into that, too. But let's get into what you and I talked about. Oh, gosh, you said 2013. I think you're right about that, Paul. You talked about, and you had this embedded source, too, later in the campaign of 2016. And he's spoken to one of your groups, and he said that the cartels are going to come out and commit mass violence primarily against large groups of white people. Of course, they're going to have a hard time finding large groups right now, but it doesn't mean they can't sweep through neighborhoods and wreak all kinds of havoc. And the fear on the part of federal law enforcement agents right now is that these rival gangs are forming alliances and signing peace treaties, and they're going to make their coming out on May 1st, which, you know, is May Day, Communist Day.
Right, and you know, we were just talking about the article by Katie Grimes from California Globe that the permits were denied for the May 1st protest from Californians, you know, non-communist Californians, California citizens. And I was trying to draw some analogies that if the communists wanted to come out and protest, you can bet you they'd be signing those right away. But they might come out anyway. And again, this is something that you know, we've been talking about for a long time on this radio show, the probability, the possibility of something like this happening. And of course, with this whole pandemic business and the influence of George Soros, which is just all over the place, and also a whole bunch of other elements as well, this is a higher probability now than more than ever.
I think it is. And I think one of the things that these cartels will target will be people that are protesting. And I think it'll be regardless of race. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people of Asian background and Latinos and African-Americans that are all going to want to protest against this nonsense. And I think as they start to gather in defiance of this order by Newsom, I think they're putting bullseyes on their back. I really pray for their safety. I'm concerned, really concerned.
Yeah. That would be something to be really concerned with, is that the whole thing is a trick. The whole thing is designed to get a lot of people out in one place protesting, you know, kill protesters, basically, the good kind of protesters, that strategy. And again, you know, for those of you that have followed my show for all these years, we started back in 2013 and 14 and 15 talking about the game plan that people had come up with. And then, of course, in 2017, January, we had an individual who actually was in a meeting, a planning meeting, with five Obama people. Now, remember, Obama was still president in January of 2017. And this person who was there in the meeting actually showed me videotape of the meeting. And it was a pretty scary thing because, as he revealed to the whole Tea Party group at the time, to about 90 people in a room, I was talking and presenting, and he was talking about how he voluntarily walked in with another person, is a very credible person that I know. And the person who I know said, "You've got to get this public somehow. Let's go to the Tea Party." And he got it out, and he's Mexican, of Mexican heritage, very proud American citizen, I might add. And he said that he was invited to this planning meeting. And this planning meeting talked about how they're pulling all the gangs together and uniting. And one of the questions that the Obama administration asked them point blank. Now, this is La Familia Nuestra, Norteños, Sereños, the Bloods and the Crips. The whole gang spectrum was there in one room in Sacramento. And, of course, the Mexican consulate was there. Yeah, that was right down the road from the Mexican consulate where this meeting was held in Natomas, California. And they said, "Would you be comfortable with killing Americans?" You know, and European Americans. Now, this is right out of the playbook of La Raza and Mecha, where they actually say these things, killing the Europeans in California, and the white Europeans in particular. Well, of course, you know, many of the Spanish ancestors are Mexicans today. You know, they were European as well. Californios were Europeans. They don't know their history too well. Of course, they want you to know the history that they want you to know, of course. And this whole thing goes back to the La Raza movement to take back what was taken from them from the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. So this is the mess they're talking about, and this is what you're bringing up here. Now it seems like there may be some solidification to that meeting. I saw the videotape of much of it and debriefed this guy for a total of 8 hours and got thoroughly versed in what their plan was. And the plan is to kill as many Americans as possible. And that's a fact. That is a fact. We can't deny that. That's exactly what was told to the witnesses at the Tea Party that night. And we've talked about this ad nauseum on my radio show for years, that this was part of their plan. Is that coming to fruition right now on May 1st? And, of course, that would be the big question, wouldn't it?
Well, it is. And I'll tell you, too, you got to consider, too, intel disinformation. They'll say it's May 1st because that's a sexy date. But maybe when it comes and goes and doesn't happen, we relax and they hit us May 15th. I mean, so I'm not saying May 1st is a drop-dead date, and that's from my perspective. But we know this has been in the works for a long time, and we've left out of our discussion. If you're talking about these groups, you're actually getting into the CalExit people. I mean, the original organization structure with the Mexican consulate, the Obama people, and also let's bring in now George Soros and also the Bank of China. And possibly the Chinese deep state. And I think
Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, because there you go. You know, Nancy Pelosi's with the cartels. And so is Gavin Newsom. And not so much as Nancy, but I'm not defending the guy, but not so much as Nancy. And then you have, Dianne Feinstein, who's connected at the hips with the Chinese.
Yes.
And Richard Blum, her husband. Exactly. So all the cast of characters are here, especially George Soros. He's the evil one in this whole bunch. He's the one who's promulgating all this stuff and control. And also Warren Buffett. You know, there's another one.
There you go. Yeah, it's interesting. Doug Hagman and I were talking some months back about this. And Doug said, you know, Dave, the stuff you and I were covering 5 years ago is now coming into fruition. And I'm sure you're having the same reaction, too.
Yeah.
We knew these things were wrong when they were happening. We just didn't have the full context of which to apply, you know, what we knew that they were allowing themselves to do. But this is, I do expect to see widespread violence. I'm not necessarily hanging my hat on May 1st, but I do know it has the federal government's attention, and let's hope that they can stop it. And I want to tell you about another conversation I had, and this leads into a lot of different areas, but I have a, I don't want to pin it down too closely here for obvious reasons, but someone who I knew very well, know the family very well, still have contact with them. This is like an 18-year relationship, and they put me in contact with a high school classmate that's now a colonel in the Pentagon. And I got some pretty honest feedback in this three-way conversation. And I'm still waiting for my call back from this person because he said he wanted to continue talking to me. But let me tell you what he said. He talked about the division that's in the Pentagon that we all know that Obama, you know, promulgated with the firing of over 400 command officers, colonels, generals, and so forth,
right.
Replacing them with liberals. And so there's a division in the Pentagon now. And I asked him what the split was, and he said he estimated, you know, 60-40, 70-30 in favor of Trump, and they're more conservative and support the Constitution and the American people. And he said, though, there's a real division. And we got into what he meant by that. And we got into the military-industrial complex, and no one has mentioned this, Paul, that I've seen. I have not heard anyone bring this up. But which way the Pentagon will go on this coup against President Trump is interesting, because I think a lot of it will hinge on the direction that the military-industrial complex wants to go, because the Pentagon officials, and I was told that some of the top people in the Pentagon, including some Joint Chiefs of Staff, are compromised by their relationships with the deep state, much like Fauci,
sure,
much like Burks, are compromised by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with their conflicts of interest. The same thing is true here. So the Joint Chiefs may not have the decision-making power or the authority to go rescue Trump or imprison Trump. They are probably instead going to defer to the interests of the military-industrial complex. And this explains a lot of what I'm seeing with President Trump. He knows this virus is overblown, the restrictions are ridiculous, but yet he's letting a document stand with his approval that allows flu-like symptoms to be added on to the CV-19 cases to inflate the numbers to keep us in lockdown. And he's also allowing that CDC document to stand that says we can do presumptive diagnoses, which means you don't have to have a test. You can just, hey, I think it's CV-19, and that's how it is. And that tells me, Paul, he's really close to being overthrown. And my Pentagon source said exactly the same thing. He said these are discussions happening in the Pentagon. And he told me his colleagues will not allow it. He said they will move on the people who are trying to hold him hostage.
Well, it's kind of the same conversation that that happened at that meeting in Natomas. It sounds to me like exactly the same kind of conversation that was taking place here in California in 2017. When that guy came to the Tea Party, really? That's what it's
on
very
a different
because,
level. Yeah,
yeah,
on
and,
a different
and again,
level, yes,
remember,
absolutely,
Obama was still in office. That's why these five characters, showed up from the Obama administration, and they were right out of that program, the Welcoming Americans program, and New Immigrants program that Obama had foisted upon everybody. That was run by the former president of MATCHA.
Yes,
and of course, that's where these characters came from, you know. So they're really right out of the playbook of La Raza and Mecha, which they're avowed enemies of the United States. They're clearly they're communists, but they're avowed enemies of the United States. They want to destroy the United States. That's very very obvious in all of their statements. It goes back, you know, 60 years at least worth of statements of hatred towards the United States. And, you know, you have judges that are proud members of La Raza. Really? You know, that's that judge. Remember, Trump had problems with a judge in California before the election. It turns out he's a member of La Raza. Give me a break. You know, this. But these people want to destroy the United States of America. There's no question
about
it.
People don't understand the pressure he's under. But I'm going to give you a coaching analogy, okay? And I'm a long-time coach. And I think I've done a lot to improve programs I've been in, and I think my coaching skills helped. I'm just saying this modestly, and I've got the winning record to show it. But there were times, Paul, I've coached games where I just flat out sucked, and my really good players carried me.
I know that.
There was a state tournament game I coached, you know, one of my last high school games I coached, and we won a big victory, But man, I sucked in that game. I watched that game and I go, what were you thinking? And thank goodness you had good players. This is where I think President Trump is right now. I think he needs to jump on our train. And I'm going to make another analogy here. What I found out from my insider source in RSOF that there was almost a coup of opportunity against Obama using what happened at Benghazi, but it got interrupted. I said, well, why not just do a coup? He said, well, this was a coup of opportunity. He said the people would not support a coup right now. And I think using this line of thinking, if the people will jump out in front right now, in millions of people, and I just wrote an article I released 10 minutes ago before I came on the air, and I said it's time for widespread millions of people to civil disobedience, and I gave examples on what we need to be doing. I think if the people show that resolve, it will scare Trump's opposition kind of off the mark, and he'll be able to reassert his authority and fire people like Fauci. I mean, he's surrounded by enemies. I mean, this is straight from the Pentagon. I'm getting this.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon's deciding at what point do they intervene. But I'll give you what they told me the cost will be. To get the support of the military-industrial complex, it may take a war with China. And maybe that's what should happen, too.
Well, yeah, there's been talk of that for some time. And, of course, are we destined to go there? I don't know. A lot of it depends upon the economy. And in fact, Chris Street's going to be with us in the third hour. We'll bring this topic up to him, and because he's a China expert as well. You know, he's a good friend of Peter Navarro, who advises the president. And, you know, of course, he wrote the book. Peter Navarro did Death by China, put the movie together, and Chris was featured in both. So there's been this talk for, you know, a long time about especially China wanting a war. That seems to be the way that they do things. They're not economists. This is one of the things that I struggled to understand why they were malfunctioning, basically. They're trying to create a free market economy, capitalist economy, but they can't do it because they're traitors. You know, the Chinese have been known to be traitors of the Orient, but they're not economists. They just don't understand how an economy functions, and therein lies their problem. That's one of their weaknesses. See, Trump is an economist. He gets it. And that's why when he started putting on the tariffs, you know, to recall all, I mean, really, the Chinese are out of control. They're out of control. Just the stealing of our high technology bit stuff has been going on for years. But, you know, they've been ruining our economy. And, of course, the sycophants who sucked up to China and making billions of dollars, who they've become these oligarchs with all this money. You know, that's trying to control everything, like Bill Gates and George Soros. They're the ones that have been, and Warren Buffett. I mean, how obvious can it be when Warren Buffett's going to make a, you know, $1 billion worth of face masks out of his Chinese company from California, or for California? That was a deal that was struck with Gavin Newsom. So this is just stuff that's blatant and out there. But the bottom line to it is that their wartime footing is being established. You can see that. And whether or not it's going to be a hot war, I think it's just a question of time to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, I asked the Pentagon guy I talked to, I said, do you think this will culminate in a war with China? And he asked me this question, Paul. I hope you're sitting down. Which China?
Well, that's what I told you.
Do you know what he meant by that?
Yeah, the deep state Chinese.
Exactly.
Yeah, and let me back up the audience so they catch this. It's a hard concept to understand because we see China as this monolithic China, right? 1.3 billion people. But the reality is it's very, very factionalized. And, for the daily, you know, if you're under a normal economy in China, there's 1,000 riots per day. Let's go back 5 years, and what was it like in China every day? Well, there's 1,000 riots. Now it's getting to be worse, and of course now the Chinese are clamping down. And now there's two factions in China for the most part in leadership. There's the Xi Jinping group, and then there's the deep state group. So they have a deep state in China that works shockingly with our deep state here, and also the cartels. See, all the money from the cartels basically gets funneled into Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, which at one time had a person on the board of directors by the name of James Comey. What could possibly go wrong there, Dave?
Oh, I hear you.
So we could start connect the dots. And, of course, who was Joe Biden working with in his little Chinese tete-a-tete? Well, it was the deep state Chinese. It wasn't Xi Jinping. You know, so when Donald Trump says, you know, Xi's my friend. Well, sure, he's his friend. Now, there's one other caveat to this. A couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, when Trump first became president, there was an assassination attempt on Xi by the Chinese deep state. And it was Trump that helped him to get, you know, to solve that problem in China with the intelligence that he had. It was Trump that helped him and saved his life. So, yeah, Xi likes Trump. So there's this bifurcation in China, and that's what... That's what your Pentagon friend's referring to, which China. You can see how this plays out, but people don't have an understanding. The deep state works within countries, sometimes unbeknownst to the leaders of the countries.
George Soros.
Yes, initiated. That's George Soros, right. That's the George Soros part of it.
Both of them. And I'll give you a name for the Chinese deep state. Wei Fang. Who has not hidden his agenda towards the U.S., which is total genocide using bioweapons.
Yeah, this guy, wasn't he the guy, the general that made the speech in 2005 about this?
No, that was his predecessor, and his name jumps out of my head. Yeah. I've got it in my files. But Wei Fang made this proclamation last year, and I published a 5-part series on my website about it.
Well, his predecessor came out. I read that whole thing. Someplace I published it too, a speech about wiping the Americans off the face of the earth.
It wasn't just his predecessor. It was also his predecessor's predecessor.
Right.
This goes back to 2003.
Yeah. See, this is, so that connects the dot right there with what we've been hearing, like with Mecha, right? And this whole thing about Aslan taking back, you know, the whole Southwest in business, and the talk and the language that came out of that meeting in Tomas, California in 2017.
Yeah, it just is mind-boggling that it's gotten to this level. The question I asked this person from the Pentagon, I asked him, I said, how much of the military do you estimate that Xi controls? He goes, that's beyond my pay grade. And he honestly did not know. He said, obviously enough that he's still in power. How would you answer that, Paul, based on what you know?
Well, I know a lot, and I don't want to answer it. I'm not going to answer it. I'll go back to his point. It's which deep state, I mean, which faction would we go to war with? And I would unequivocally answer the deep state. You know, there's a division in the military there, like there's a division here. And, you know, this Pentagon division that you talk about, my understanding, it's about, in the military itself, it's a lot more support for Trump overall.
Yes.
I'd say it's more like 95%, because there's certain things that happen. I'm not going to talk about on the air, but there's certain things that happened in that when Obama was getting rid of all the officers, they were also trying to get rid of staff sergeants and other commanders and stuff, and they didn't get rid of that group. They did a terrible job of getting rid of it because the military by that time were on to what Obama was doing. And most of those sergeants and staff sergeants were actually saved. And I'm not going to talk about how, but they were saved and not touched. So the military, pretty much, I believe, overall in the field, is very supportive of the president, commander-in-chief, and will support the Constitution. It comes down to taking that oath and supporting the Constitution, right?
But the leadership is not 95%.
Right. No, not that. That's absolutely correct. And that's what it comes down to. You know, and these people need to... Well, they need to be outed, and I'm pretty sure there's a pretty good campaign trying to do that. But, you know, this whole Fauci thing and this whole Birx thing is so just dripping with conflicts of interest with Bill Gates, you know, and they're, you know, Bill Gates wanting to exterminate all the humans on the planet. It's not even funny. That's a true thing that he wants to do.
It is true. No, there's no he's put sterility drugs and vaccines in the third world. So it's a small leap to go along with what you're suggesting.
Yeah, he's a eugenics.
Yes.
A eugenicist.
Self-appointed. And the guy doesn't even have a first aid card, and he's presuming to tell us how to run our medical industry.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I almost said a word I can't say on a family show, but yes, it is amazing. It's crazy how far this has come. But I think at the end of the day, I think that the military leadership, and this is what I said to this guy, and it kind of caught him off guard. And it was kind of like the hesitation was there. He goes, oh, I hadn't thought of that. I said, I know the rank and file will not carry out genocide against American citizens for very long. They might initially obey an order thinking they're putting down something illegal. But once they figure it out, they're going to jump sides. And I said, and do you want to be a commander of an army that's jumping sides? And he hesitated, and he said, this is why a civil war might start at the upper levels. And I said, you mean actually you're going to divide who you control and fight against each other? And he said, it's been discussed in quiet circles. Have you heard this too, Paul?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Eye-opening. I think Trump is just waiting for the dust to clear, but he's piling up a hell of a deficit. Because let me just give you one statistic, and then I'll bridge it into industry. For every 1% raise in unemployment, 10,000 people die. That's a standard figure. That's right. Not even controversial. Okay, and then you've got now the economy in ruins, and our military to fight a sustained war with China, and that would have to be a sustained war given their sheer size, you would have to be able to convert peacetime industries to wartime industries a la World War II, and if your industries are in ruins, you can't sustain a major conflict.
Right.
And that's the thing that worries the Pentagon people the most, is what I was told. And that's why Trump can't wait any longer. I mean, he's giving this passive approval by non-action to this big pharma coup against America and his administration. I don't think he has long to act to make America solvent in terms of being able to defend itself.
Well, then there's a supply chain for food and everything else, and that's, of course, a big problem right now. I've been talking to truckers up and down the state and the nation, and they're telling me that there's no more, things to deliver. So trucks are just, I talked to a trucker on the road yesterday, and he said that the truck traffic in the area that he normally drives on a Sunday, which he's been doing this route for a long time, he said it was off by 75% yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. Yeah, and some of this is being managed by deep state interests, I think, at the state level. And I'm going to give you an example why. 17 meatpacking plants have closed, 3 of them Tyson, right. huge. But they're sending the National Guard to the food banks. But wait a minute, they're also sending National Guard nurses to New York City to help with COVID virus treatment. So why can't they do the same thing with these meatpacking plants where they're throwing away spoiled meat, and at least stave off for a while the coming famine? And I do mean famine that's coming to America. You saw that UN article that came out, written by the UN, saying we're going to have famines of biblical proportions.
I haven't seen that one yet. It wouldn't surprise me. And, of course, then you have
that came out. I reported on that about, 3 or 4 days ago. And that kind of made the rounds with our colleagues. But it's going to happen. We're going to have famine. And this is why I'm telling everyone who's hearing my voice right now, while you can still do it, food preparation and water preparation has to be part of your daily routine, because there's going to come a time where there's going to be a cutoff. First, it'll become cost prohibitive because of food inflation, and then secondly, it'll be followed by the fact that it's just not available at all.
Yeah.
And I'm getting this from people that are on co-ops for grocery store chains, grocery store owners I've talked to, all are saying the same thing. The food bins are emptying out. Our food reserves are almost gone.
Yeah, this is the famine thing is something that we brought up about what would happen if the Oroville Dam went. And, of course, right now it's sitting at about probably 825, I think, right now today. And it's leaking like a sieve, and literally like a sieve. It is a sieve that's coming out from the plates of the spillway. So there, it's dilapidated. $2 billion down the drain, literally. Mm-hmm. And it's going to go. I don't see it sustaining itself, and once it sustains, it goes, it's going to wipe out this huge rice-producing area here in Northern California. It's one of the largest in the nation, in the world, yeah. In terms of rice production. So just if it was to go on a good day, with everything copacetic, with the supply chains correct and all that good stuff, if it was to go at that point in time, it would still cause famine around the world in certain countries.
The other thing that's going to happen, too, is when an event like that happens, or if the natural progression of events occurs and we have these famines, FEMA is going to be coming to the doors of a lot of Americans and confiscating stored food.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out. But you can see how touchy they are. We had this court decision that was rendered on Thursday by Judge Benito in the Southern District here in San Diego about lifting the ammo bans that they have out here in California, because now they require, the universal license and all this other good stuff, and you have to have a background check, and you have to get it from a vendor, have face-to-face interrogation before you get the ammunition. And, of course, this was they put a stay on it, the Ninth Circuit did, and this judge just really excoriated the state for it. And, this was Thursday afternoon. By, Thursday night, they're making the appeal. Javier Becerra, Friday morning, they're making the appeal and demanded an answer by 3 o'clock on Friday. And at first, the Ninth Circuit said, no, we deny your appeal. And then they came back later and they granted the stay. So now it's back on. So you talk about touchy, man. They were on top of this in just a matter of hours before they got to the court, so that you couldn't freely buy ammunition in California.
Who got greased?
Well, it's a matter of, that's a good question. But the bottom line is they are so sensitive and so reactive to ammunition. You know, why can't Californians buy ammunition freely? It's a Second Amendment right. The judge even said it in that one decision. So now, again, it's just one more of those things that's an indicator about how touchy they are. And, of course, Gavin Newsom immediately disallowing permits to protest on May 1st around the state capital of California. Now, it might be that he knows something that we don't know. Show up at the state capitol protest and get killed. You know, maybe that's going to be
the outcome. I was wondering that, too. Yeah, I was wondering that. Man,
oh man. I can't imagine Gavin Newsom being so concerned. But,
well,
here's the deal, Dave.
I think it's coincidental. Yeah. I think that's, Newsom would not be concerned.
Well, let's play devil's advocate here. If this is, in fact, what we've been hearing and talking about and reporting for years, and our sources have never I haven't had a source that's been wrong yet. And when the guy walks into the Tea Party, it's now the Feather River Tea Party Patriots, when he walks into the Tea Party and lays this whole scenario out to us, I mean, people's mouths are on the ground. But for me, who studies Mechon La Raza and has had one-on-one dealings over the years as a school administrator with him, because they've been trying to do this takeover coup d'etat of California and the rest of the nation for a long time. And the battlegrounds were definitely in Southern California. When I could see it as a school administrator, and you could see it in Arizona areas, they've been around for a long time, the communist agitators wanting to get to this point. So now that they're here at this point, it might be in everybody's best interest to warn everybody. I mean, if you are a sitting president and you have knowledge of this, and it might be in everybody's best interest to put out a warning.
Yeah, that would be a mistake, though, I think, for the other side to do that. Because, see, then Trump all of a sudden would have the high ground. Here comes the military. This is an attack upon the nation, so we're going to respond like it's an attack. And then he breaks free of the chains that they're trying to place on him.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have sweeping changes under the guys that were under attack. COVID virus, sorry, no, we need to get America back to work. You know, here's what's amazing to me. The death total for the unemployment figure of 10,000 per 1%, because the employment rate, by the way, Paul, I didn't finish this thought, is 25%. There were 110 million Americans that were employed, and now almost 27 million have filed jobless claims. That's 25%. That's 3% higher than any time during the Depression, which took 3 years for them to reach, and we did it in less than 60 days.
Right.
And this is why I'm saying the president's running out of time to rescue our industries from a national security standpoint. That is my number one concern right now.
Yep. So get everybody back to work as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, this is why I think we need to set the tone. Clearly, the forces have lined up in great numbers against the president, and he's probably looking at the Pentagon with a question mark based on what I've been told. So we, the people, have to set the tone. Let's go to why there wasn't a follow-up coup with Benghazi, because they didn't think without a coup of opportunity there weren't enough people to support it. Well, we need to get out in the streets by the millions, reopen our businesses, like Shelley Luther is. She's already been cited in Dallas for the Salon a la Mode in Dallas, Texas. It's open today. If you're there, I'd suggest you go to it. The address is in an article I wrote on the website, thecommonsenseshow.com. But we need to have millions of people in the street. And I think that will empower the president and his close advisors to say, Fauci, bye-bye. Okay, start firing people in the Joint Chiefs that you think are really compromised, and then really take action. This is what I think the people have to lead. That was the reason for my analogy with I've had players carry me when I've had bad nights as a coach.
Yeah, I just laughed because when I was coaching, I had to say every coach has that. You just kind of have to let it go. And you know, you're having a bad day doesn't mean your kids have to.
Yeah, that's
especially
true.
When they're beating the other team. It's like, you know, overcoaching and all that stuff. It's hysterical. Absolutely hysterical.
Well, after we won that game I mentioned, I told the team afterwards, I said, you guys overcame six figure people tonight. The five you're playing against and me.
And the coach.
And me, yeah.
They'll laugh.
But see, yeah. this is what the president faces. We, as the people, bear the responsibility now.
Right.
He's one man surrounded by numbers. I read something the other day. It was really interesting. It was a piece on Trump and Melania's marriage, which I thought was, they were really inappropriate. But something came out of that article that I thought was really telling. She said she was bemoaning the fact to, I think it was People Magazine, how many traitors surround her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. But she said it publicly, Paul. Publicly. Yeah. And that's the pressure he's under. So rather than us being on the Trump train, he needs to get on our train, and we can carry this to victory, because then he'll feel empowered to be able to act.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I, we've reported, I've had some interesting calls from people who've been in the White House and seen this whole act you're talking about, just witnessed it. And I'm not going to get into too much detail because people will know who we're talking about, I'm talking about, but I've debriefed probably about five or six people, six of them actually, thinking of the names here, that have been in close quarters, have seen this whole act about the people who actually hate Donald Trump, and he has to work with them. He's forced to work with them. So that's another a tell of what a great leader he is. And, of course, the people reacting against what you're saying here, reacting against the deep state, which is those people around him, make him angry even more. But, yeah, I think it's time to get rid of people like Fauci and Birx and all these other people that are so totally compromised and start pushing back. I would certainly support that, and we as the people have to start stepping up. There's no question about that. We have to take it back.
This advocacy I'm promoting here actually has been validated, and I was kind of shocked by this. I caught a clip. Someone sent me a clip of a Fox News interview that Mike Huckabee was conducting with Trey Gowdy. And I'm thinking, okay, well, two guys I really respect. Let me see what they're up to. And Trey Gowdy came out and just bluntly said, it's time that America and Michigan all go out and mow their front lawns. We need to engage in civil disobedience. And he must have repeated it five times.
Right.
And Governor Huckabee did not disagree with him once.
No, he didn't.
So because we're getting – these people are powerful people in our country, two very powerful people. And they're basically telling the people, get off your butt and get out in the streets.
Yeah. And, you know, you interviewed Mike Huckabee.
Yes,
you sat at the same table and we had lunch together with him. And, you know, that was one of the messages that he was carrying forward. In fact, you know that his assignment after he left our convention was to fly to Sacramento, and he had a meeting with Gavin Newsom and laid down some things there with Gavin Newsom. And a lot of people say, wow, that's amazing. Well, this is what Huckabee was doing. And you know, he was looking out for Californians, Mike Huckabee was. But now this conversation you're talking with Trey Gowdy, which I find it interesting with Trey Gowdy and what he's doing now in his world, that you have two of the top-notch Americans make that statement. And I support it 100,000%. Michiganders need to get out. They need to get out and mow the lawn. They go get your seeds and plant. You know, this whole, you know, governor that they have over there. And, of course, ignore these calls that the governor is putting out there. They're unconstitutional. Same with our state. I would be very cautious and see what's going to happen with the deep state actors and what's going to happen on May Day. That would be a concern. But, you know, these are things that we can mitigate. But we cannot any longer put up with being told that we can't meet in churches, we can't do this, we can't do that. We have to get out and we have to mix it up. It's unhealthy what they're telling us to do. There's no question about it.
Well, you're right on a number of points. One is I've read some articles by doctors that are saying by sheltering in place this long, we're compromising our own immune systems because
that's
it's an evolving thing. And when we go out in public, we evolve to what we're exposed to. And now we're losing that. So we're not just going to be prone to COVID. We're going to be prone to things we wouldn't have been prone to. I want to give out an address here along the lines of what we're talking about with millions of Americans that need to go out in the public. And this lady put this information on her Facebook, so it's fine to put it out. It's publicly available. She's been cited once by Dallas police for opening her business, Salon a la Mode, and her name is Shelley Luther. And her business address, listen to this, people in Dallas and Fort Worth, 7989 Beltline Road. 7989 Beltline Road in Dallas. And that number, you can call Shelly and make an appointment to take advantage of her services, nails and other kinds of stuff, 972-991-4446. That's 972-991-4446. I'm looking at her. I'm actually going to try to get a hold of her this morning, but I'm looking at her as a rallying point. She's someone who can, and she's so nice. I mean, she doesn't act angry, but she could be a rallying point for civil disobedience.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people in California doing the same thing and starting to now more than ever. And I don't want them to be discouraged one little bit. And we'll be publishing a lot of the stuff for them as well. And there's people in, of course, Michigan too that are starting to pop up. But across the nation, this has to happen. We have to take our nation back and don't be so timid, don't be so shy, and don't be so submissive to the totalitarians. I mean, the totalitarians come along and they tell you to stay shelter in place when there's no facts to back it up, and you're willing to give up your First and Second and all your amendments, all your God-given rights. You're willing to give it up. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know, tax payments are deferred right now, but I'm going to say this as part of the protest. For the states that are doing this, and South Dakota is not one of them. I've had a lot of contact with people in South Dakota, but for the states that are doing this, my state's doing this, what you need to do is withhold your tax payments to your state. If they're going to deny you your right to make a living. I mean, if I could walk into Walmart, and they may have their little patches on the floor and indicate, you know, 10 feet of distance. That's a bunch of bull crap. You walk into Walmart or any of their box stores, they're fully open, fully doing business, no real restrictions to speak of. Meanwhile, this lady here in Dallas can't open up her shop when Walmart's a few blocks away from her and they're in full business mode. Yeah. This is, and I'll give you another thing. You have the White House press corps sitting every four seats apart. Why can't churches open under the same conditions? And why is it that people of the Islamic faith by de Blasio are going to be allowed to celebrate Ramadan and they're going to serve meals to them, the courtesy of the city, and Christians could not worship at Easter? And I don't begrudge the Muslims for doing this. I think they should do this. They should have the right to do this. But the problem is they're trying to build in a divide and conquer. Let's turn Muslims and Christians against each other. I don't see it that way. I'm not angry that Muslims get to worship. God bless them. Or if I use the wrong term, I apologize. But Paul, we can't take this crap anymore. I mean, we're losing our country. It's disintegrating right now before our eyes.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, people need to rise up. You know, we did yesterday. We did it all weekend long for New California, which was wonderful. And we had this whole thing happening. We had many functions yesterday and a large gathering. I spoke to a large group in Nevada County. It was wonderful. And went to church. You know, we opened up a church. Our church has been open now for 2 weeks and is going to continue to be open. And sat next to people. I rubbed shoulders with people, you know. And, you know, this whole thing about the herd mentality, Dave, is so real. And I want to go back to that explanation so people understand what you're talking about. That your immune system operates under a principle in physiology known as the said principle, a specific adaptation to imposed demands, as your body does. You know, if you know, one day you're living a sedentary life and all of a sudden your life changes and said, you know, for $1 million, you got to get your body in shape. You really are motivated to do that. Well, all of a sudden you start putting demands upon your body that you have not put on before, and your body starts to adapt to it. So in other words, you go out and you exercise more and you drop weight and you get more muscle tone built up and you get slimmer and so on. There's a demand that's being placed upon your body. Specific adaptions start to take place. So that's the said principle, specific adaption to impose demands. And your immune system works exactly the same way. That if you're in a high, you know, population zone and you're mixing it up with all those people all the time, you're always being inundated with their viruses, all of the germs, everything else that you breathe in. And by the way, we live in a soup of viruses. The atmosphere is chock full of viruses, bacteria, all these things. But our body, when they come in contact, that we build up what's called antibodies against these things, and that increases our immune system. So a strong immune system is usually because you've been associating with a lot of people. A lot of people don't understand that. But again, if in fact you stop associating, then your body goes into the said principle, specific adaptions to impose demands. You start to lose your immune system and you build up fewer and fewer antibodies. So now people are going to come out of this stupor, this lockdown, if you will, in a month or so or whenever, they're going to get more diseases. They're going to get sicker.
They won't recognize when they get a Bill Gates vaccine and feel crappy because they already feel crappy.
Right.
Do you think they're going to make this mandatory? Do you think that Trump can stop this from being mandatory?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to stop it. We personally have to stop it.
I agree. No. I agree with that.
It's up to us to stop that. No one can allow that to happen any longer.
And that's supporting the antiviral drugs like hydroxychloroquine?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And, you know, it works. You know, quinine works. I mean, you can go out and get quinine in Schweppes tonic water. It's got quinine in it.
Yeah, you're the second person that's told me that.
Yeah, I drink quinine water. In fact, you know, I had it was kind of interesting. When I was sick with this, because I had this in January and February, I was just brutally sick. And it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. But I happened to have a bottle of Schweppes in my refrigerator. And when I was sick and miserable, I said, well, I got to have something. So I took this thing out and started drinking on it, not knowing I was helping myself. And it made me feel better. So later on, I went out and got some more at the store and ginger ale and stuff like that. And it all made me feel better. I thought, I happened into it. Just because I had a small bottle, actually, in my refrigerator. And I was grubbing around for something to relieve whatever I was having a problem with. And found that. But, you know, I was told when I got it by the doctor, don't come and see me. Stay home. Because at the time, they didn't know what they had. That was in the beginning of January. And yeah. I did. It was miserable. But
I got to ask you before we go, where does one get Schweppes?
It's all over the stores. You can just go to the...
Really?
Oh, just yeah.
Any grocery store?
And it says right on the bottle, it says quinine. It includes... It has,
okay, my wife does all the shopping.
It contains quinine. Wow. Yeah, and hydroxychloroquine, we talked about this in early March on a radio show because that's the cure. That is the cure. And then Trump started talking about shocking how these things work. It's absolutely shocking. But it's a cure. Yeah, and of course, people have been taking that with huge success and then take it with zinc. You know, I'm not a doctor, can't prescribe things, but, you know, I'm just telling you what worked for me. I was taking massive amounts. I still take zinc. And, of course, right now, out here in Northern California, the stone fruit capital of the world, it's pollinating like crazy. And everybody's got allergies, including moi, which I don't get allergies, but this year I seem to have them. And eat raw honey. That's the cure for that. But anyway, we're getting off on track here, Dave. Tell us how we can get a hold of you and your good work in the Common Sense Show.
Thank you. TheCommonSenseShow.com. And also on YouTube, The Common Sense Show by the same name. And we put our radio shows up on the website. And, Paul, always a pleasure being with you. Let's keep the good fight going.
Yep, and it's a fight. But I'll tell you what, we're going to prevail. The American spirit is not dead by any stretch of the imagination. I saw a lot of it with the 50-plus people that we had at that meeting yesterday. It was wonderful.
And it was I'm beginning to see it, too.
Yep.
But we need millions in the streets. Get out in the street and protest.
That's right.
Okay, Paul, thanks for having me.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
All right, that was Dave Hodges with Common Sense Show here on Agenda 21 Radio. And we got to run for time here. No breaks here. Chris Street's going to be with us in the next hour. He's going to be lining up some things for us economically, what's been happening and how things are going to take place from the economy standpoint, how we're going to have to rebuild our economy in a whole different way. I think that in the rebuilding process, which will be 2 or 3 years probably, that rebuilding process will really reshape what is going to be a new America. A new America with more hope and more freedoms. Continued liberty and independence in New California. New California. preserving the American dream. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.